It's the Daily Talk Show, episode 761.
What's happening, guys? What's going on?
Happy Monday. Clap in, mate. Are you okay, Georgie boy?
Just knocked my mic when I went to clap.
Friday night was great. I'm no spring chicken anymore. Feeling old this morning.
Well, you did that whole thing where it's been many, many years that I've experienced this.
Yeah.
When you go to a party and then there's like a group of people all leaving at the same time. It's like, oh, where are you? Where are
that
you guys
was
going?
Strange, wasn't it?
It's like
these guys. Oh my god, they're aliens! They're leaving a party to go party some more.
And so yeah, I mean the thing is, I can't help but like, what crazy shit. Ooh. Is it, are you okay?
I put my chair down.
Yeah, I was just thinking, like, what are they up to? Like, I associate it with like drugs and orgies. And so, like, when you don't get invited to the next party, you're like, there's some crazy shit.
You were invited. You said no. I heard you. Bree was like, oh, I'm up for this. And you're like, nah. So push back. No, always invited.
The invite was Mason saying, where are you guys going? It's like, oh, we're going back. Oh, do you guys want to come? Which is fine. I loved it. I thought this is great that TJ, you know, who's a dad, doesn't get much time to go out on a Friday night, going back to Rain Man's place.
Well, it's, I haven't been, like, stars have to align for me to have a night out. And it's, I think it's fair. That's just what you take on when you become a father. Mm-hmm. And Amy was taking Bodie out the next morning to go and hang out with a friend. So I knew that, which meant I knew I could, have some fun. And so that's exactly what happened. But, you know.
So we had Friday night drinks.
Yeah, and then we just went back to Rayman's and hung out after. The point being is it's – there's mate, you're a deviant if you think there's some sort of orgy going on after. You use that word. Take your mind out of the gutter.
No, but I just
parties happen and then other parties happen.
So what's
and then
the
sometimes
second,
back what, in the day
how late?
I'd be six parties deep. And then you'd hear about a party on the way home.
Six
in
orgies
a cab.
Deep.
You know this, George. It's just listen, Mason was amazed that there was a party on after a party.
Yeah.
He's like, does that party?
Well, I got home and I was FaceTiming Grace. And I kept, because I had no idea, but Grace was saying that I kept asking where you were and if you got home all right.
Where Tommy was.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I just remember being on Find My Friends because I knew Josh was, he got home. But I was like, where's TJ? I was like, I hope he gets home. Like,
there was something good. Scary about it.
George,
it was the start of a TAC.
Imagine taking them to Revolver. That would blow your socks off. Yeah. Anyway, I wanted to do we had a great time. One of the
So you went too.
Yeah, I was there. The,
did you?
What happened?
Everyone was there.
What happened?
Except
at the
after
guy.
Party? We invited you.
There wasn't enough room in the car.
True, actually, you can only have three in an Uber.
Really?
Can't sit in the front. So.
Yeah, the guy let us. I'm sure.
Yeah.
Pretty sure he did. From what I can recall.
Rules. Must we got a McFlurry.
Yeah.
Did you?
That's fine. So Mason was going to leave, and then we ended up walking home. But before you talk about what you're going to talk about, I was just going to say the Friday night drinks.
Mm.
It was a little bit of a clusterfuck because we rushed to get a setup. And so we just put a camera on the tripod. It was this wide angle shot. And the way that it was set up was like with Zoom, the thing that is great about Zoom is you are front on. It's like the shots we have here. So you're nice and close and you feel like you're part of it and there's a lot of empathy. But the way that it looked like a security camera that we had set up.
Yeah.
And so the feedback was it was like watching other people have a party. And I was there. Talking,
yeah,
being like, oh, you know, just keep people engaged. I was interested in what everyone was up to. I hadn't seen the Gronks in a while, and then I started playing music, and then the chat was saying, "I don't want music. I want like we should be talking."
Yeah,
and so I turned the music down and started talking again, and then there was a criticism of, it looks like we're just watching a party."
Yeah,
and at that point, I was like, I was half pissed. Which this isn't a regular thing. I don't like as a brand value. I don't want us to become, the guys that are just getting like, just a dirty workplace where there's just people falling downstairs.
Which wasn't the case. It was never the case.
Well, we could have fallen.
I mean, you tried to jump over the...
I mean, let's be honest. You've fallen down the stairs looking on your phone and sprained your ankle. Mm-hmm. No booze involved.
Yeah.
But so the danger's already there.
But there was... Because there was the episode where we did all the gin. Like, there was a lot going on.
It was a lot last week, wasn't it?
And so
it was a big week. It was a write-off, we said.
Yes, remember, we said that on Wednesday.
Yeah, but if it's written off from a month, from the Tuesday when you come back after a long weekend, it's still a write-off continuing.
And so anyway, I just wanted to say, yeah, the Friday night drinks in that format doesn't work.
It's going to have to be reworked.
Yeah. I mean, this is I have been thinking a lot about the – so how do you feel about the isolation time? Like, it's becoming now – a memory, right? It's like we're not living it at this point. Mm-hmm. And I think that there was, I mean, if you're looking on it fondly, some people are probably like, I lost everything. And what it was the worst time ever, as in going into isolation,
lost
COVID-19, no job, all money gone, lost everything to a degree, having to build back up, lost a job, which can feel like you've lost everything because it does remove a lot. But my point being, like, driving in no traffic, I really enjoyed sort of like the pressure, the old pressures that you were experiencing prior to it were, relieved or just you either could forget about them.
It was a moment in time.
I know.
And that's what I was thinking. It's like, you know what's happened? Friday night drinks with the Gronks was like being on a holiday. We were in Hamilton Island. We were getting pissed every night. We're like, let's catch up when we're back in Melbourne. Caught up in Melbourne, and it's like, actually, I don't like any of you.
Speak for yourself.
Not that I feel that way, but that's how I was gauging the me. I felt like I was being my normal self.
Yeah.
And for them, people like when people say this is fucking boring, or it's just
did
like,
someone say that?
It was very
no,
much.
No, but did someone say that? Because the words are powerful. Words.
Tone is powerful.
How do you gauge tone on text?
Yeah, that's.
Well, the thing is,
chat. My point is, it's you know when something feels it works.
That's a criticism that I get commonly, which is I will communicate what you've said based on tone, not what you've actually said.
Which is misrepresentation, to be honest. Because all we have
Emma
is what
smiling,
we say.
And Emma's the friendliest.
She's always smiling.
She's always smiling. Yeah. And I couldn't even, we talked about the snake. We talked about her snake.
You couldn't turn her frown upside down.
No. I was just
thank God, and Mr. 97 had a smile on his face the whole night. He was enjoying himself.
That was a lot.
No. Look, I agree. I agree. It's a piece of time, a moment in time that is no longer isolation. It's not like it's not a thing now. Most people are going back or they're still working from home, but it's like it is a different vibe. As soon as you have the option of going to a real pub with your real mates. No, I get it. But I enjoyed the night. I think that
where we went wrong was we had two tables set up. And so what I thought was going to happen was we were all going to go around the white table where the microphones and headphones were.
Oh, yeah.
And so I can't do two things at once.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, it's almost like I'm on stage, like emceeing, like, oh, how's everyone's night being? And there was another conversation going around the big wooden table. So I understand. Yeah. I apologize to the Gronks. And actually, I love everyone that was on there. I would hang out in real life.
It was a great analogy, minus the bit at the end
where I hated them.
Yes. Because we
I don't.
No, but it was a great analogy in terms of the vibe you get when you are on holidays. And then it's like...
Which I actually never had. I've never allowed that to... I know that people make holiday friends.
I've done that so many times.
Really?
Yeah.
So many times.
Any that you've kept or...
Not really. Like, there was like a few months of like catching up every now and then, and then it just slowly drifts away. And
Dwindles.
Yeah. Even on nights out. Nights out, you go... We're best friends.
I've got one guy specifically, like a couple of big nights, Future Music Festival, just into the wee hours. Mm-hmm. And then if I see him, it's like, mate, we went to school together, year 11. And it's like, you form a real strong connection quickly, but it isn't that.
Mm-hmm.
That's not real.
It's a bit different.
That's not real, especially when alcohol's involved. Everyone loves everyone.
And so what did happen at the other party?
More alcohol. More talking.
More party.
Listening to music. Fuck. You're a dad, aren't you?
What was the...
Did we miss
on
out?
On a couch? Was there any food ordered?
No, I think as it gets into further into night, no one's really missing out. Like, what's the saying? Nothing good happens after...
After nine.
Yeah. Usually it goes to like after the 1 a.m. mark is when it starts to go down.
How late did you?
Oh, I got home before within the 12 hour. I thought that was reasonable.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. You got home before midnight?
Within the 12 hour.
What does that mean?
What does that mean?
Between 12 and 12:59.
Oh, okay. So you said before one.
Before one.
Within the 12 hour.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Makes sense.
Before one. No, I was just hanging out, just chatting. Great to hang out with Rory and Danny.
Team building.
Love those guys.
Yeah.
Team building, Josh.
Uh-huh. But the team building, we were building, like, I thought we did a great job of building.
Yeah.
When we were here. And so the second bit.
Just moving in.
Yeah. I was applying the roof and the doors, all the accessories. I installed an oven.
Yeah.
Mason. And everyone was pretty cooked after it.
I mean, Mace doesn't get, was the most pissed you've ever been?
Do you reckon more than LA?
Yeah. Bree doesn't even really drink, and she was...
We were arms around each other walking.
Were hugging the whole time.
I've seen GB Hump Day replay.
It was a full cuckold operation. I did feel like a cuck as we're walking along Huddle Street.
What McFlurry did you get?
Oreo
with the... With the chocolate,
yeah.
Yes.
That's a JJ classic.
Mm-hmm. But I dropped my spoon on the ground, didn't I?
Did you pick it up?
I gave it to
you. No, Josh gave me his.
The
one.
Other thing is.
Well, did you eat your one?
Or I'd finished. And the thing was, I just realized it was the traffic, the next traffic light from the McDonald's.
Yeah.
That's a strong effort.
Yeah, yeah.
For a whole McFlurry.
Yeah, I mean, they're pretty. Jeez. They're pretty quick.
Yeah.
He smashed it down.
Oh, God. So this time next week, Sevs will be on annual leave.
Mm-hmm.
I've got to put it into our accounting software today.
Put it in the calendar.
But more important, it's a big week for you.
Yeah. Well, I mean, my weekend continued because I went and got a haircut.
Like everyone's.
Big weekend.
My weekend. Like, that's pretty funny. My weekend continued. Yeah.
Lucky me. No, well, so I got a haircut.
Looks great.
Oh, thanks, mate.
Really nice.
So I didn't notice, to be honest.
Yeah, well,
but I thought you...
They've done a little fade.
The front side fade.
You can't really see from the front. But I did that and I did a bit of a clean out. So, everything's getting ready. But I found... look at my neck.
What's happened, mate?
He's got a bit of gravel, like a rash from the shaver.
Nah, I didn't even shave.
What's happened? You've scratched yourself.
No, I don't know what it is.
In the night, you've scratched yourself.
It's been there for over 24 hours.
Hickey.
It looks like a shaving scratch.
I didn't shave it. I think it might have been
hair scratch.
I think it might have been the hairdresser.
Okay.
Anyway,
very sensitive skin.
Yeah, but no. Next week, we'll be in Blairgowrie at the beach house.
And so,
Rod's beach house.
All right. When are you leaving? On a Monday,
Monday. I don't know. In the morning, I guess. Maybe we'll go down and get some like supplies from the supermarket.
But from Friday, like Saturday and Sunday, the weekend will continue for you.
Mate, it'll be a long weekend for Sev's.
Oh, yeah.
So Sev's girlfriend's moving from Perth, which is very exciting. Have you planned anything, or are you just giving yourself this week to plan stuff?
No,
or are you not planning?
Nothing's planned.
No, it's about right.
I feel like it'd just be nice to hang out, see what happens.
Plans are good.
You
like
reckon?
Having something like it's,
but I'm sure like we can go for a walk. Like we can decide on the day if we want to go for a walk or down to the beach. Like
it's like going to school. If there was nothing planned, you'd end up just hanging, doing nothing.
Mm.
You need some. You need something. I think it's like in my relationship. It's my fifth year wedding anniversary. I think that's right.
Today.
Coming up. No, next month.
Oh yeah,
July. And so, but I was thinking about that in the shower.
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday morning, and I was like, if we don't have something planned, it will just be, we won't do anything. So it's like I push back on planning too far in advance.
It's so much better. Like I wish that I planned what I was doing with Bree for her 30th because I ended up fucking running around trying to sort everything out.
Exactly.
Pulling heaps of favors and just like people are like, when is it? It's like, it's tomorrow. Like, it would have been so much, like, you can, if you plan now, you could get things sent from, like, shipped from China. Like, you could go Alibaba to a holiday.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
But even, like, the for the wedding anniversary, you could do something
big
relating to crafts, but get great prices on all the paint.
So
whereas if you're just running around, you're going to pay full price for acrylics.
Like, for instance, maybe it's not open. Oh, that's another thing. It's COVID-19 time. Mm. Stuff is opening back up. Like, the Peninsula Hot Springs.
It's open.
It's open?
It's open.
Have you booked?
No.
I would book that.
Based on it not being,
they probably can't just have a flood of people.
Yeah. No, literally, I just saw a thing on Facebook saying that they're open but only taking bookings.
Yeah.
I don't think, do you reckon Grace would be into hot springs?
Mate, it is, what do you mean?
It's quite nice.
I fucking hate, like.
Yeah, but you hate taking your top off. When was the last time you went to the beach?
I don't like it, no.
She's from Perth.
She loves going to the beach in Perth.
If you like going to the beach and you like water, you'll love the fucking hot springs. Winter, go early in the morning. It's like, hot, steaming off the top. It's like there's this hill. No. I know you wouldn't, but you're not.
Well, Grace was saying she's not into what's the hot things that you go into?
Saunas. It's not a sauna, though.
Yeah, but yeah.
It's a sauna without a roof.
No, it's not. Have you ever been in a spa?
Yeah. I prefer to go into
a sauna than a spa.
Yeah, but it's
in a pool area.
Yeah, told you.
But only
hang
in a pool.
On. No, a fucking spa is not a sauna.
A spa is not the hot spring either.
What I'm
submerged
saying
in
is
water.
What I'm saying,
it's a pool.
Is
what are you saying?
But what I'm saying is it's got all the qualities of a sauna.
Yeah,
plus water.
Yeah. Exactly. And so if
most
you're
of
not,
the qualities.
It's actually nothing like it.
But if you're not into.
If you were to say a steam room, I would say, okay, I would
actually
see what you mean.
Exactly the same as outdoor swimming pool.
What is?
Just warm. It's a warm outdoor swimming pool.
Okay.
It is. And so, it's lovely. You get your robe and you get to walk around.
They've got cold ones as well that you can jump
into.
Yeah,
there's a plunge pool, like a plunge.
That's exciting.
And so you're going to go. Yeah.
It's really nice. It's really nice. Yeah. Or a winery.
Yeah.
This is like
at lunch.
Oh, yeah. That's a great idea.
I feel like I got stuck with when traveling, people would say, you'll love this or this is the best thing ever.
I took into account him. I wasn't talking about you.
But what I'm
saying
is
fucking hate it.
Yeah. But you need to be in tune with your own voice in what you like because it's very easy. Like you can go to a restaurant and they'll be like, oh, you should get the... like the steak is the best. Now, if you're a vegetarian, don't get the steak. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Amy loves to ask the waiter what something is like. I'm like,
the waiter has
subjective,
no idea.
Yeah. Like, they might not like a hot chocolate and they don't know what the quality is.
Yeah.
And so, but for Sevs, I could imagine. I was taking into account his situation. Either that or just fix the internet at the Airbnb. Just make sure you dial in the router.
A digital detox.
You're doing a digital detox.
Yeah, yeah.
So what does that mean?
Well, I reduced social. I won't be on my phone.
Like, how many people have said they're doing the digi detox?
Oh yeah, a lot.
And just like
gone hard.
I'm a bit bored. Pull up all the time. I always think, fuck, you always need a box to lock it away in.
What's everyone's screen time been like?
I haven't looked in a while.
Have a look.
You know, watch DVDs and stuff. That sounds like a very beach house thing to do.
Oh, yeah, no, Rod's decked it out with DVDs.
Oh, there is something about a rental that has an old player and you just like slip back into
I love it.
16-year-old mode where you're cracking a DVD.
16. When Sevs was 16, DVDs weren't around.
Netflix. Yeah.
When he was 5.
Is that true? You were 16, you were watching Netflix?
16, yeah.
Yeah, 2012.
Yeah.
2 hours, 48, daily average.
Mate, daily average.
2012, right. I would have been.
My daily 12, average.
Is that for this week or?
Yeah, Sunday.
See, that's account of yesterday.
4 hours, 10 minutes was last week's average.
Oh, really? Yeah. Yeah, so by the end of the week, you have
seven
cranked
hours,
your average.
7 hours and 2 minutes from me last
Whoa.
Week.
Whoa.
So last week, mine was 6 hours, 32 last week.
4 hours and 32 minutes last week.
Mm.
That's down 6% from the last week.
Really?
Getting less and less, though, out of my phone.
Out of it?
Into like a battery? The value.
Uh-huh.
Like the, I was even thinking about...
trading it in. Selling it on the trading
card. No, it's all fine. But I was thinking about the listening to podcasts walking into work.
You now, do that, right?
Or if, yes. If you're listening to a podcast right now, which you are, if you're walking or, you know, this is great. But what I discovered was specific types of podcasts, i.e. News, opinion, editorial, sort of like that sort of mix, I can't listen to before starting work because I just get so worked up about like they'll say something. I'm like, hang on. This is only half the story. Like, shouldn't you mention this bit? Or what about this bit? I'm like, you can't do anything. And then I had to catch myself where I'm like, when I walk in, I'm not going to bring it up.
Yeah, I know.
Because like you could easily then completely derail the day.
Mm. Yeah. Mm. Yeah. And so what the fuck have you been listening to?
Well, no, so I did that today. Like, so I've been trying to listen to, like, so broaden the scope of stuff I'm listening to.
It all, anything, if I'm thinking reality shows, people putting spins on them, if there's a podcast about gossip or what else is there? I mean, just you need to get into fiction.
All made up.
Yeah, you need to get into fiction. Like, because then it's just like you can throw out anything they ever say because it's like made up. It's all made up. Doesn't matter.
No offense to podcasters. But I don't trust any podcasters to make something up. Like, what sort of person makes? What's an example of a made up podcast?
Oh, Dan Illick's podcast that he's on.
So that's the Audible series.
Ah, okay. So you can't get it.
That's not really a
No, but yeah. So that's a satirical. Yeah, I guess.
Yeah. There's another one. The two girls, Kate and Kate, that do the cooking show. They're on a comedy sketch podcast. That has a narrative, but it's all fiction.
Yeah, I don't know. What do you think, George?
I mean, yeah, I listen to a lot of comedy podcasts before work just to wake up and
any fiction
get in the mood.
Well, probably the closest would be Auntie Donna, but that's sketch comedy. That's improv the whole time,
which that's is good.
Just fun and silly.
I mean, then the question is, like, you like that, George. Like, you're a comedy guy. No. He is. He knows comedy.
Funny
we know this.
Funny boy.
We know all of this. But, Josh, you don't like, you're drawn to nonfiction. You're drawn to the sort of stuff that makes you think about the real world.
Yeah.
So then it's like you need a murder mystery. You need to delve hard into audiobooks that are all BS. Up.
Yeah.
Well, when the Crime Channel first came to Foxtel, I was like addicted to that. I'd watch it all the time.
But it's really stories.
Yeah, right? I was all crimed out. I feel like by the time I was like 16, I was like, oh, I get how I know what's going to happen here. The guy's going to murder the woman. It's going to be really sad.
Yeah. So, what do you want? What are you craving? Because otherwise, there's nothing. Like, what are you listening to?
Well, this is my problem. I feel like
You have to bear the sound of the real world.
I've been listening to a lot of Pete Murray, obviously. But
that's all right.
It's making its way into the family recommendations.
Oh, really?
Yeah. On Spotify, there's a whole playlist based on what you and Bree listen to.
He's on my Spotify family.
Okay, no.
I actually worked out last night. That someone we had on the family account that's not family, they were able to make purchases or whatever, fixed it up though.
Hang on, wait.
On our Apple. So it was like sharing a, like our Apple family thing, but I didn't realize it gives all these other rights.
Had they made a purchase?
Yeah, just a small one. So we fixed it up.
Hang on, wait. You fixed it up by asking them to pay for it?
Yeah, we just got them off.
But you didn't say.
Hang on, you.
I don't know. I left it for Bree. It was one of Bree's friends. I was like, "Hey,
she's definitely hasn't followed that up." Like, I get it. I get it. But
yeah,
hopefully. Mm-hmm. I mean, you give the person the benefit of the doubt that
they subscription. Didn't mean it. Yeah, no, it was like it was an iCloud storage thing. So I'm sure it just like ticked over. It's fine.
Yeah.
I find that the whole podcast and Netflix. And Stan and Doc Play and Binge, all these different things like
Disney
Plus, Apple Plus, Apple TV Plus. Like there's too many things and even this weekend, I was like, I'm going to just chill, have a real lazy day, like a couple of days.
Did you?
No, I ended up having some issues with spam on one of our websites. Yeah. And so what was happening was on Sunday, I get this email from someone. They say, piss off. Right? I was like, beg your pardon? Who's this? Sent from iPhone. I'm like, okay. It was someone that had a Big Pond account. And so what had happened was...
Russ Keith, exactly.
sent from Microsoft Teams. So what had happened was we had a form on one of our sites, and when you submit the form, you get an email back confirming that we've got your email.
Yes.
We didn't have a spam protection mechanism on that, like a CAPTCHA. And so what was happening was a bot was going through, putting in random people's email addresses and then putting their spam, what they're trying to send to them, in that, and then click submit. And that was getting our email server to send that person an email from us.
Saying?
Being like a confirmation email, but it was all that bullshit data.
Yeah.
And so I realized that on Sunday. And so my
were there?
55,000 emails.
55,000?
Yeah, so annoying. And so it was just
how many piss offs did we get?
Only one.
That's good numbers. That's good odds.
And so it was annoying.
So they were being sent to real people.
Yeah.
Oh, no. You've done a me.
We did that. So hang on. Let me just work this out. Mm-hmm. So the bot has, and it's not Charles from Discord, the bot that was running this input of email and then a message, they're random email addresses
that they've stolen or taken. Yeah, they've found a list. And then so they want to use another server to be able to send all of these emails.
Yeah.
And so it was very annoying. And then so it sent me on a whole day of updating stuff on the website and doing,
Did you write back and say sorry to the guy that told us?
No, because the thing is it wasn't us.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't want to have to enter into it and explain, like...
Mate, your data's somewhere on the internet.
And the thing is, we weren't even compromised. Like, nothing was compromised from our email perspective. They were just using a little thing that they could, like...
Yeah.
Hey, what's that website you can check if your password has been breached?
I've been pawned, I think.
PWN, like, owned, pawned.
Is it legit?
Yeah, it's legit.
Like, is it safe?
Yes.
Why is it so? Because you're just putting your email address, an email address or something.
And it will tell you if it's been compromised.
So, email address, I'm just going to do this quickly. Just put my...
So, what's the URL?
It's haveibeenpawned, PWNED.com. Have I been pawned?
And so, you'll put in your email address and it will go through all the databases and it will tell you whether you've been... if you've been compromised. So Adobe was famously...
Good news, no porn.
Oh, that's good.
I mean...
Not porned.
No, not porn.
Have you heard the story...
Oh, no, Canva.
Oh, Canva.
You got porn on Canva?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Same.
I did have Adobe, but I went through and deleted that.
Mm-hmm. GB, did you hear about the... one of the tactics, what they do is because it will tell the password, like there's the password's accessible, right? Like you won't be able to see it there because they're sort of trying to protect you, but you can get passwords and all of this sort of stuff. And so what spammers were doing was they were basically sending emails to people. I got one of these emails and it says, hi, the subject line, you're right. The subject line is your password, right? And so it catches you off guard, like, what the fuck is this? And the email, I'm not even joking, Tommy's dad got the same email. It's...
That was real.
we've hacked into your computer and we have webcam footage of you masturbating to pornography. You need to pay us through this link now. Otherwise, we're going to release the video.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So I emailed back. I said... Release I'm going to beat you. Yeah, I'm going to beat you to it. I'm releasing the video before you.
Oh, no, great.
Obviously, I didn't. But imagine being like someone who has no idea about this shit.
Yeah. Oh,
and then thinking about it and connecting dots and being like, what have they got?
Oh, my mum separated from my dad. No, but they knew.
I'm sure it was like, do you reckon this is a scam?
They don't have a webcam. I mean, this is why people put the little dots over your laptop.
Over the camera. The webcam. Yeah.
I mean,
isn't that a fucked up story?
Yeah, that's crazy. How much were they asking? $3,000
I don't know. Yeah, it was all through. You made that up, but it was all. It sounds reasonable. No, it was all through a Bitcoin sort of scenario.
You'd have to crypto. Have Bitcoin. They'd have to find the right person, someone who really has Bitcoin, who is doing that weird shit online. Mm-hmm. You were telling me about 15 minutes of shame, Georgie boy.
Oh yeah.
Tim Minchin, comedian.
What is that? I don't know.
Which it sort of plays into the realm of if that ever happened, you had something leak like that where you weren't planning on it. What's the story behind what he talks about, the 15 minutes of shame?
The story is just, it's a song that he's written. It was a while ago. He wrote it like maybe 2 years ago or something. But it's just about this cancel culture and everyone digging up dirt on each other. Something that was said maybe 10 years ago, Twitter status or whatever, that's been dug up.
Photos.
And it's just everyone will have their 15 minutes of shame where you'll just get hounded. And it's almost like these days there's no ability to change. It's just like once you've said it, that's who you are.
What do you think? So I was reading an article about a guy who, a bit of a fraudster, was written about in the newspaper, and he served his time. And then he went on a massive campaign to get the newspaper that wrote the articles about him taken down.
Interesting.
He ended up getting in trouble by the federal police because he made bomb threats and whatnot. But he
back to his old tricks.
So the question is, do you think that you should at some point get to erase history? Or do you think that newspapers should stay up forever?
Oh, it depends on what you've done. But then even that sort of, I think there has to be something that's removed from looking at what individual cases. This is the thing about media. There's no, who's it governed by in terms of, you could pull something up and then our own social media. Mm-hmm. Like if there's people being cancelled, fired for tweeting hashtags, rightfully so. Like not rightfully so, but
it depends on the hashtag.
But it is a crazy thought that just writing something, you're gone.
Yeah.
Well, I know there was a financial advisor that I knew through a friend of a friend, and they were on a current affair for being dodgy.
Oh.
And so anyway, I remember
just being chased down.
Yeah, like the whole chase. Yeah, yeah,
really.
Yeah. And oh so, my God. The
what's
thing,
that? What's that word?
Jess used it.
Yeah, producer Jess uses it where they're chasing it. Excuse me, you've been defrauding people, blah blah blah, and they're trying to. She knows somebody who does it. Mm-hmm. We need them on the show.
Definitely. But anyway, what was very interesting about that specific person was I was Googling them, and you can see the current affair article or whatever. And then there's all of these puff pieces, blog posts that he's hired. There's services that you can hire that will try and SEO your name to get out, like to basically muddy all of that sort of stuff. And so they're using like setting up blogs and calling them different. Bouncing, it's called, Jess said.
Bouncing. Yeah.
And so I loved that. That was good. She slacked us.
That was great.
Thanks, Jess. Where's the weather in Bendigo?
But they, so basically a huge, like just written all about him, all these different articles.
Is it reputation management?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
But it's like, it's so obvious from someone who like sees it because it's like the person's name .blogspot.com and .wordpress. And then they've got like a Prezi presentation about like why they're great.
They
Well, I was listening to someone over the weekend, which it's very much falls into the category of listen and it will consume your, feelings on the world. And it was just about how everything's being cancelled and it will be a point where it's cancelled so far that it's a rebuilding. Mm-hmm. So it's like everything, it goes so far that it's like it's only can go back up. It has to readjust and build back up.
We were talking about that the other day, cancelling cancel culture.
Cancelling cancel culture.
I mean, its own thing. Do you think that we'll ever get cancelled?
I think someone will try to do something.
Mm.
But I mean, the realm that we play in, I don't think is sort of right for cancelling. Like, it's not happening as much.
That's what everyone
we're
says.
We're exempt from it.
Yeah, exempt from it.
Podcast about politics, we've said a lot of religion.
We've said a lot of things, though. We've had, like, we've been talking, like, every day for 2.5 years. Yeah. Surely there's something to be cancelled on.
Yeah.
I reckon there could be something easily stitched together.
Oh, but that's fine.
A montage.
Michelle Laurie says that she's been cancelled. So I'd love to have Michelle.
She cancelled herself.
Really? Did she? Is that what
she
did?
No. Is that what you're saying?
Well, I follow on Facebook and she said, I've already been cancelled. So, and then went into something that was, you know, hot topic. Like she, and I think she writes some really great stuff, but yeah, it's a weird one where, so this podcast I was listening to, it was like outrage and that as an emotion shouldn't be listened to. And it would be one of the more prominent feelings that definitely shouldn't be what people decide, you know, like their outcome or their thinking is decided upon their level of outrage internally as an emotion.
Well, if you think about, like, you know, you don't send an email or call someone when you're feeling really emotional, we probably shouldn't cancel people either.
When they're emotional and feeling that way.
But then I guess there's justified, like the problem with all of this is there's justified. I do love the John Ronson book, So You've Been Publicly Shamed, because they talk about all of this. Have you read that, GB?
No, but my brother read it after hearing you talk about it. He loved it.
So good.
Yeah. It's very good because it looks at things that have happened. You know, I think the book's maybe 4 years old or whatever it is. It's just, you can see that this is just a cyclical thing. It's just constantly happening. It's like the, it obviously feels right now like we're in a bit of a pressure cooker of, you know, cancelling. I think that also, I wonder how much of this is connected with mental health, us cancelling Friday night drinks. How much of it is that we're all feeling not that great, everyone's like not the best version, and then we're asking everyone to like coexist and co-create and have a conversation when you're not feeling the best.
Yeah. I mean, and it's also the time, the isolation, like mental health. Do you think there is a mental health crisis now, or is it been there before all of this happened and now it's coming to the surface and we're talking about it more? And that's what I can't tell. Like, I hearing some horrible stories about some young people and suicide over the weekend, and I'm thinking, is it a thing of now? And then I was thinking about my experience and all my friends in the past that have, you know, done that. And it's like, oh, I don't know. Like, are we less equipped with the internal skill set now than we were 15 years ago when I was a 15-year-old?
There's more depth because there's more depth and we're more aware of injustice. And because we're like all of a sudden when we've been immune to issues based on our own privilege or what we get exposed to, now that we're getting exposed to all of that, we're starting to all of a sudden the systems are like, oh, these don't seem fair. This is like the stuff on all the statue stuff that they're talking about. It's like, okay, you know, you're taught in school all this stuff about James Cook, and then you've got like, there's one thing to be like, okay, re-educate. Like, we need to actually properly have a better understanding of our history. But then we also have to look around and say, oh, well, that statue there represents all these different negative things.
Yeah.
So then it's like, can you have progress? And this is what I was listening to on the way here. Can you have progress with keeping them up and then building new statues, or do you need to knock them down? And the point of what one person was saying was, it was like, if Black Lives Matter, then you need to be saying, okay, well, is this statue, is that a, does that go against Black Lives Matter? And so does that mean that we should be removing it?
Yes.
What's that network that you're showing
Brothers,
me?
Yeah.
So Warner Brothers have put a slate at the front of some of their shows.
Their early cartoons, the ones from like the 1940s, have a lot of racial prejudice in them. And so they've put a disclaimer at the start that basically says, these cartoons are presented as they were made in the time. They don't align with Warner Brothers. They were wrong back then and they're wrong now, but to remove them would be the same as ignoring that they ever existed.
Mm.
I think that's a pretty good way of talking about it. Like, yeah, just taking it down and getting rid of it is just, I don't think that's progressing the conversation.
Without the it being an opportunity to educate. I mean, it's like, fuck, if they're prime spot in centre of London or, you know, here in Melbourne, it's like, what is a version of using it as a tool to educate and say how misaligned or misguided we all were from an educational standpoint? I mean, I think that has more impact than just like removing and a kid never saying, "Mummy, who's that?" Or, you know, an opportunity for mum to say, "That is blah, blah, blah." Dad to say, "He's a gronk, the worst kind."
I guess that these things seem nuanced. And I understand that there's, I think that that's the hard thing that we're experiencing, is that there's nuance, but for certain things we should take a no, we should, by being nuanced, potentially that could be deemed racist as well. So if you, so for instance, so on the Black Lives Matter stuff, it's like, you can understand all lives matter. You can understand that as a concept, right? All lives matter. It's like, of course, right? But then the problematic bit is, that's a way of knocking down what's currently happening with Black Lives Matter. And so there's all this nuance where you can easily take a misstep, or like
And then, so for instance, the All Lives Matter builds, it's got groundswell within the far right. And so then it's like immediately labels, and the people that are, I think, like using it misguidedly, getting pulled into that. And they haven't done themselves the due diligence of looking at what the fuck it all means. And it's like, and that's what people are getting. That's the hashtag that people are being fired and cancelled.
But I think that the part of it is, it's like, okay, being cancelled is being, is better than being killed. And so the, if we have to deal with being cancelled potentially,
I mean, but that's not the conversation that,
well, I guess that like there is a bunch of that, which is like, okay, if it's, if we're willing to, like, I guess I'm not worried about the cancelling thing, because it's like, okay, I'm gonna say what I think to be true through my perspective right now. I realize that I'm not always going to be right, and I'm open to learning. I feel like from a cancel perspective, like, doesn't that, that makes things pretty clear.
Yeah.
I mean, how can you be
canceled? What else can you do?
Yeah. Unless you are, the only way that you're going to be canceled is, it's like, I am not willing to change
100%
my perspective on this.
Yeah. I think it's a massive education piece for people that are saying and strongly defending, no, all lives. Like, there is a huge piece of work that I think that kind of person needs to make.
So, is cancel culture then overstated? Like, is there actually way less risk to cancel? So, what does cancel culture cause?
Lost jobs. You know, it's like being associated with somebody who gets cancelled or says something, like a LA Galaxy soccer player's wife made some comment on Twitter. He got fired. He lost his job based on her words and what she chose to say.
Which I'm
just telling you the effect of someone being cancelled, what it could mean.
And so I guess the other perspective is around, okay, we've got systems where we've been able to, just by design of the system, you get a leg up. And so this, I guess, is the opposite, where it's like, oh, you can, if the system's fucked already, if the way that we got our job was based on all of these privileges from where we grew up to our upbringing, all of that sort of stuff, it feels like the cancelling isn't necessarily that much of an issue.
Well, I think it is an issue for, but that's not to say it's an issue for the individual.
Do you think that the majority, so who's doing
can't
the cancelling?
Not an
who's
issue.
Doing,
like,
who's doing the
cancelling? Being cancelled is an issue for an individual but at
who,
a
who
at
says
a personal
who's getting cancelled?
What do you mean?
And, well, I get like, what does it mean to be cancelled? So cancelling is like losing your job or...
Yeah, it could be pushed out from any potential of a role. I don't know what it means for Michelle Laurie when she says, I've been cancelled. Like she gets attacked online for talking about anything. I mean, it's like the people who are up for having these conversations at a public level, I think my point of saying what it meant to be cancelled... I don't think it needs any kind of explanation of why it was worth it. It's just there's a bunch of things that people are being cancelled for. I mean, cancelled has even started to get groundswell about the loss of what it even means.
But that's exactly what I'm saying. Like, so the cancelled thing is like, is Pete Evans has been cancelled, but does it actually, like, what does it actually mean to Pete Evans? Is he, like, still in, like, a hyperbaric chamber at home, like, enjoying life? Yeah. Like, what's the, like, what is cancelling, what does that actually mean?
I mean, what does it mean if you look up being cancelled? What does it mean? Is it from the main, like, think about people who it usually refers to is people in the media, people in the celebrities or...
But mainstream is also getting completely shaken up. And so... Cancelling makes a lot of sense within the context of mainstream, but if everyone's going to go into their bubbles and have their place, like anyone that's cancelled,
here we go. Do you want me to tell you what being cancelled means? To cancel somebody, usually a celebrity or well-known figure, means to stop giving support to that person. The act of cancelling could entail boycotting an actor's movies or no longer reading or promoting a writer's work. And so...
J.K. Rowling got cancelled last week, didn't she?
Yeah, she did.
Transgender stuff.
Really?
Having opinions on all of that stuff. Mm. Yeah, I don't know. Like the... I was watching... Yeah, what were you going to say,
Jim? Oh, no, I just like... Tim Minchin actually talks about it really well on Willosophy's latest one. And it's just about people that, like, we understand why Black Lives Matter is the right thing to say and All Lives Matter is the wrong thing to say. But for a lot of the people that are just saying, oh, hang on, don't All Lives Matter? Like, they are coming at it with, like, the right intent, and then to just yell at them and say, you're a racist, you idiot, is actually, it's not that, like, it's actually... has some scientific backing that will make them double down and be like, all right, I've been put in this box. It's not the way to educate people to move forward. Like, I don't know, people need the space to be educated, and just yelling at them and calling them a racist and cancelling them, I don't think is the right way to do it.
But I also think that, like, we can only make decisions or think the way we think based on the knowledge that we have right now. And so that's the other thing. It's like, I think that so much of this is based on dogma that our thinking is going to be stagnant, or the way we're going to think is always going to be the same.
Yeah. And it's also about lecturing people, you know, on information that you've only just learnt yourself. I can't believe you don't know this, you idiot. Like, well, you only learnt it last week. So give me the time to read stuff and listen to things. Rather than just calling me an idiot.
I was watching a doco last night by, do you know Stacey Dooley? She's a British documentary filmmaker. She's great. It was on Stan. I've never watched any of her docos before, but she did a doco on sex offenders in Florida. And when they finish their time, where do they go?
Oh, Louis did one of those similar.
And so Louis's one was a little bit more like a halfway house. Yeah, that's it. Where they're that's all right. In the house. You remember they had to like fucking, like it was crazy shit.
Yeah, there was a past pedophile that was like in charge of the house, reformed. Uh-huh. But then like, I think it was just like a power maniac, like running this house. Mate, you're late. Yeah, you're grounded.
So anyway, but the interesting thing is it's like that is, I guess, an example around things aren't black and white. Things are like there's so much nuance to everything. And so they show this like, okay, you can't a child, a young person, like they can't defend themselves. Like they've fucked someone's life. Mm. They've like ruined a young person's life. And so based on the law, especially in Florida, it's like you're done. Yeah. Like even if you've got your time or whatever, there's no more for you in regards to like some of the laws are that you can't live within the community where there's going to be kids. And so what ends up happening is there's these tent cities just basically of sex offenders that are there, you know, staying throughout the night and all that sort of thing. But I just thought it was like a nuanced, it was this weird nuanced piece where she was building these characters as like they're humans, but then they've done this thing that is horrendous and disgusting and can't like and can't be forgiven in the way that we look at society, because it's like you can't risk them hurting another individual. Yeah. But it's like, how complicated is that? Like you're talking about cancel culture or whatever, and then you look at like the system as a whole and look at all of these areas.
Yeah, just serious criminals that like, what is there a place for them to recover or rehabilitate out of that life?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's so hard.
And so there's been like a very clear line around like, no, you do it and it's done. And then they,
Isn't it weird that laws vary? So there's an Aussie guy who's just been sentenced to death in China for importing
7 kg of ice. Yeah,
seems like a lot of ice.
Well, I think someone else did like 20.
But you then you do that
something and only got like 15 years, I think,
in China.
Yeah,
but then you do it here, import. Yeah, that you're not getting death. You're not getting life.
Mm-hmm.
8 years maybe or something.
It's also interesting what gets the news, like what, like the news cycle and what everyone's talking about and what's the, like there's definitely a, an oversimplification that can happen. Like I've caught myself listening to something and then hearing the, I think that the dangerous bit about news is not what's being said, it's what's not being said. Like you hear a story and then you're like, oh, this is, but then you hear it over somewhere else. I guess that's why like consuming different media is good. But you're like, oh, wow, like you've completely missed this specific, like you are refusing to talk about this specific bit. And the only reason you would do that is to try and convince the reader or the listener that of your specific opinion.
I mean, there's a, if you were to just objectively look at the past 3 months of news relating to coronavirus, it was serious.
Mm-hmm.
It is serious. But you can also see how they used the media, when I say they, tactics that played into human emotion of, you know, think about that time. It was probably 3-4 weeks I was refreshing the fucking news site every 5 minutes. And I like, you is know what you're looking
ally?
For.
So is news a ally to positive change? So for instance, does the news give a fuck? So the thing is that like, do the news actually care about what's currently happening, or are they seeing it? Because like COVID was an issue and then overnight it was no longer an issue. And then you see protests happening, you see all this stuff happening. And then like I'm connecting the dots of like what was said last week, which is like, okay, African Americans are dying based on COVID-19. Like, you know, they were a group that was significantly represented in COVID deaths. And then to see people protesting, it's like, it's a very hard thing. Like there was, it didn't seem like there was much conversation around it. Mm. It was obviously all over this one area. And it seems like a hard conversation to have. Like it's hard to, my perspective has been, it's like, it's a very personal decision that I feel like protesting, it's extremely personal. There could be huge consequences from a health perspective, but I feel like in this case, it's like the whatever's being protest over there is outdoes my opinion on this thing. It feels like a personal thing. But just the way that the media, I think, covered it, I was like, oh, like I was almost had whiplash.
Yeah. Flick of the switch.
Yeah.
Like it's just
which, it's a lot. Which then makes you think about if you were to look at like how they approach these things. It's like, what's everyone talking about? Like I've worked in a news, in a media outlet that just looked left to see what other people were doing. And then, well, there's the leader or the person that's found where the momentum is, and then we jump on that. And so that is the case for a lot of these. It's like, what is the story that has got momentum? What is the interest at a society level? And then we have to talk about that. And so that's where it isn't, like you're saying, there's a bunch of stuff that's missed.
Yeah.
I mean, and all you need to do, George and I did this last week, we're looking at like a more right-leaning website news outlet versus a left-leaning outlet. And you look at the headlines and you just read through them and you can see where this one, the left, is swayed towards talking about X and the right drops that and talks about this. And it's like, well, if you're just, you are going to be a, you know, you're in, if you're in the echo chamber of more right-leaning media, it's going to be consuming you.
But and there's so much nuance even around like our sort of approach in putting things into boxes. So, for instance, like Black Lives Matter, we put into the box of justice, and then we put it into minorities, and we put it into like all those different sort of boxes. But there's a bunch of people that are like, stop putting LGBTQI issues with the, you know, racial debate and things like that. So it's like extremely complex. And it's, I guess, like the framing that I'm looking at everything is like just like what seems like just, or what's where does the justice lie in it all? And that feels like it's a little bit more sort of pragmatic in its approach rather than looking at them like it shouldn't be whether you think that, you know, It doesn't actually matter about your personal opinion whether you think that a same-sex couple should get married. It's like you actually need to zoom out and be like, no, this is like human rights, justice, all of that sort of shit.
If only people did that more often. I don't think I've been caught up in things, you know, specific topics that I haven't done that probably well. I think it is a learnt skill to be doing that, to what am I feeling right now? Why am I feeling uncomfortable? And then what's if you zoom out from that, where does it fit within progress of the world? And because I don't think you can say that you can't have a political, you can't, this is how political parties thrive, is the right, the left, the Democrats, the Republicans. Like people have ways of thinking about things that they strongly support. That's why Trump got in. Because people strongly agreed with him on many things. Is that to say that that is the right? Because there's a bunch of people that say he's completely wrong.
Yeah.
And so that's where it's like, does it, I mean, who has a friend that's highly political? I was watching last night on Facebook.
But it feels like the political bit is the...
Everything's political. Like the Black Lives Matter movement is a political, has a political tone to it.
It feels like...
Which it has to. Like it all fits into it. I'm not saying it's... I'm removed. I'm watching somebody who posted a thing saying blacklist, the term to blacklist somebody is a racial, has a racial undertone. And then I saw some guy jumped in and started writing like...
We read the same comments.
Did you? I mean, at one moment I was like, these guys have lost hours of their life. And then there's me, hours of my life. And I was like, oh my God, I didn't engage. But I was like, one was like, mate, there's, you know, you can't back that up. And I couldn't understand why the argument was happening. And it just seems so weird. But I mean, that's one snapshot of one thread online of where people, and, you know, it is political. It is kind of like ideologies that are coming into play there. One's trying to, you know, go with facts. The other one's like, you know, the left are predominantly more pushing a feeling and the rights are more facts. They're like trying to bring in you know, to outdo you with this isn't what happened. And it's like, yeah, but what does that mean? Even if that is the case, how does that play for someone and how they feel?
Mm.
Like it's, I mean, this is where you need to just go listen to some fiction. Just get out of it. Get out of this world a little.
Made up stuff.
Just watch Willy Wonka.
I can't listen. Well, I think Willy Wonka's problematic now.
Oh shit.
Yeah, and also J.K. Rowling can't listen. Read any Harry Potter.
Yeah.
So Lion King. I got it.
Can't be good.
Toy Story. I watched Toy Story 1, 2, 3, 4 on the weekend.
Not just really.
Your vibe.
No, it is.
Okay, I got one for you.
Yeah.
Upside Down. Upside down. Some really great kids' films. Bodhi's been getting right into them. He loved Elsa.
Frozen's good.
Can we sit on the Frozen?
Because Frozen's good because she discovers like a sisterhood or like the power of your sister. It's not like all the other princess and prince things are based on like the guy comes and saves. And I think like
you got two sides to a bridge and, you know, where the linking factor is. There's some line in it. I was like, that's kind of cute. You know, Elsa couldn't do it without Anna.
Also, tunes on Spotify.
Tunes?
Sorry?
They've got their tunes on Spotify.
Oh, that's
you
good.
Can listen to
Frozen?
That. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I could get around that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Album on Spotify.
Any other final thoughts, JB? Anything?
No, I think that's good.
Okay. We're trying to get, in regards to all of the guests that we have on, we want to have more diverse guests. It does take more time. Like it's embarrassing to say it, but like we need to spend more time working all that stuff out.
Mm.
So yeah, it's something of like we're doing the work now, but you won't actually necessarily see it coming to fruition for a little bit as we sort of manage everyone's schedules and things like that. Mm. Anyway. That was a heavy breath from me.
Mason's continuing the party into the next weekend.
Yeah, it's just continuing the weekend.
Yeah, the week continues.
Yeah.
Hey, license testing resumes. I just got an email from Vic Rhodes. I don't know why I got one.
Mm.
But Sevs,
yep.
In the coming months, we'll get you your license.
Great. I don't know if that's true, but it's a daily talk show.
I want him to.
See you tomorrow, everyone. Have a good one.
See you guys.
Enjoy the rest of your day. Bye.